Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Marie Jones. She has been on the show several times for different books, and today we're going to talk about her book, Destiny Versus Choice, The Scientific and Spiritual Evidence Behind Fate and Free Will. This is a favorite topic of mine. I think it's one that everybody who studies metaphysics basically gets down to as one of the core questions, at least for a third-dimensional existence, and we should have fun talking about it. Welcome, Marie.
Hi, good to be back.
Yes. So, I guess we can mention some of the other books that we've talked about. Would you like to go through, do you remember some of the ones we've done here? The listeners can go to, if they just Google Temple of Health, and then either the topic or your name, these should come up if they have a desire to go back, and because you're probably going to reference some of these books today during our talk.
Right. I think I've been on for
We started, I think, with the Deja Vu Enigma.
Deja Vu Enigma, right.
Right.
And then, oh my gosh, did we talk about 2013, End of Days, Our New Beginning?
I think we still need to do that one, and we need to do it before the end of
2013. We do.
We need to get back on for that. The next one was The Trinity, I think.
The Trinity Secret, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And then we did 11-11.
11-11, yes. That was a fun one, the time prompt phenomenon.
That talked about the 11-11. There was incredible information in that book. Then we recently did Ghost Hauntings and
Ghost Hauntings and, I just drew a blank. Well, it's part of the New Page Books Explored Unclassified. Let me see if I can get the right title. I did three
it's
of
a
them.
Long
I did
title.
One on ghosts, yeah, one on UFOs, and one on lost civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it's Ghosts, Spirits, and Hauntings, Am I Being Haunted? From the Exposed, Uncovered, and Declassified three-book series by New Page Books. And it's, Larry Flaxman and I have one chapter, along with some other amazing people in the field of paranormal and unknown anomalies. So it's a really cool way for people to buy one book and get all these different viewpoints, which I think,
Good. It's a great
gives them
book.
More
it really
value.
Is.
More
so
bang
I'm looking,
for their buck.
Yeah, I'm looking at your About the Author page, and we do need to do 2013, The Ends of Days or a New Beginning. That would be a really good one to do before.
Absolutely,
before
yes.
this year ends.
Well, you know, and everybody's feeling these shifts and changes, myself included, so I think people really want to know what the heck is going on here.
Yeah, I think there's going to be, according to multiple sources, there'll be two energy influxes that we'll probably notice. One's in March, coming right around the corner, and the other's in August. So that will be very interesting. There's already news on the in the mainstream media about the photon belt, which, of course, the Palladians told us about a long time ago, but now that's actual news. And I think it's hilarious that the scientists are saying that it might destroy the solar system. That's great. I love that one. But the photon belt is here as recognized by science, and that's an important thing. And then, of course, the sun is going to undergo some changes. And, we don't know exactly what they will be, but they might be fairly significant changes.
Right, they'll be left without their technology for a while, which may actually be a good thing.
Right.
Return people to actually having to interact with each other on a personal level.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a super wave that Lafayette describes. I had Lafayette on the show before talking about his alternative to the Big Bang Theory. He's a physicist that has a fascinating book about a super wave coming from the galactic center, probably as the first cause of all of this, as you say in your
destiny. And who knows? You know, it may end up like Y2K, where
it may
absolutely
yep, it
nothing
may.
Happens.
It may.
And we're all
well, the photon belt's here, though, so something's happening. You can't argue with energy, and new energy is affecting the earth. I think people are going to become more intuitive. I think they're going to become more aware of the, you know, of the multiple dimensions that are there. I've had a bunch of phenomena occur just since we talked on ghosts and hauntings about lights turning on with nobody having come in the building, charts flying off, the desk, and all it was is fourth dimensional entities trying to get my attention so they could tell me something important. In fact, it was my deceased mother telling me something about my brother. So, you know, I mean, it's just since we talked, I've had a number of phenomena, and I've not had that many phenomena in my life, so I'm thinking that maybe a lot of us will have these phenomena. You know, whatever
the energetic
shifts are could make it more likely for the fourth dimensional life to communicate with the third dimensional life.
Right, I agree, and I definitely have been talking to more and more people who are kind of feeling like, wow, what's going on? And, you know, but not always in a negative sense. I mean, a lot of times.
No, it wasn't negative at all. It just was weird.
Weird. Like, I don't understand this. It feels weird, but
I mean, when a chart goes flying off a thing, and you look at it and you go, I wonder how that happened.
Exactly.
It's a heavy chart. It's not a surgical chart.
So it's
well, I was dense and didn't realize at that point that someone wanted to talk to me, and later on, when the lights were on, and that we're in this building, so you know, anybody who comes in or out, it's recorded, so I could easily tell that nobody had come in or out. And but the lights, I turned the lights off that evening, and then the next morning they were on again, and I had spent the night in the building, so that was interesting. So, you know, it's just interesting stuff. What I think is happening is that there's an energy that is enveloping not just our planet, but our solar system. And when you add energy to a system, you can change dimensions. You know, that's
right.
I mean, that is the difference between the third and the fourth dimension, is the addition of energy that increases the precessional rate of the atom and makes the atom go further apart. So you can't see them, you know. I mean, if you're in the third dimension, you can't necessarily see with your physical eyes things in the fourth dimension. But if you add energy to the system, then you can see things in the fourth dimension.
Well, they certainly make their presence known.
right. Well, remember when we were talking in Ghosts and Hauntings, and I told the story of the ghost here that I'd only seen once in 17 years. But
your
he said through a medium, he cannot control who sees him, you know. But that fits
right.
in, you know. At that point in time, I was vibrating at a level where I thought he was physical. I mean, I didn't know he was not a third-dimensional person until he just walked through a wall. I mean, a door. He just walked through a door. And I'm sitting there looking at him walking through the door, and I said, that must be the ghost.
no human can
do that.
Right. It's like you see what you're sort of expecting to see until it does something that changes your expectation.
This person, I saw him in broad daylight. He was walking away from me. He was down a hallway. I only saw his back. And I had no reason to believe he wasn't physical. You know, he looked very physical. But then he'd always looked physical to the many 30 or 40 people who'd seen him, who told me about him. And so I think what happened is that time I was in a higher vibrational level for whatever reason, and I could see him, you know. Or maybe he was in a lower vibrational level where I could see him, you know. I mean, I saw him with my physical eyes, not with my spiritual sight, you know.
Right.
That's different.
It's interesting, too,
it's very different.
It's interesting how some ghosts, quote-unquote, appear very solid, and others you can barely make out any form to them. So you wonder, okay, are they on different dimensional planes? Are we seeing them differently? Is it the person perceiving it?
I suspect it has to do with the ability of the ghost. My ghost my ghost said he was a shaman in previous lives. He was very talented. He could walk, you know, he could do all sorts of stuff. Right. There's a whole list of stuff that this ghost did that was very talented. So I would say that the ones that don't appear, that want to scare you, are lower energy, so maybe they can't form in the physical so well because they're
right.
of a lower vibrational nature.
Right.
And the ones that want to do good, I call him a ghost, but he actually is a protector. My ghost was here to protect me, period. You know, that was his mission, and to protect the center. And so when he appeared to people, he appeared very solid because he was more substantial, I think. He was, you know, he had more energy and could
right.
do
so. So they can also possibly control how they're perceived on their end, depending on their
right.
where they're at, I guess you could say, consciously.
Mm-hmm. I think this is it's a matter of talent, you know. If
right.
if you're good
right.
at something because you've done it for many lifetimes, you're good at it.
You know. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I asked him how he could write on the glass, you know, and he said, I was a shaman in many lifetimes. I mean, that kind
I
of
figured
explained
it out.
He walked between two worlds in, you know, from the third dimension he explored the fourth, and from the fourth he explores the third, you know. It's a talent that people develop by practice, just like a
lot
tennis
and lots
player,
of practice
know?
Over lifetimes, apparently.
That's right. not every ghost can do
week.
This.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where you could just take a week course and
no.
figure it all out.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with him. He's a pretty interesting fellow. And certainly very grateful that Spirit had assigned him here. You know,
right,
he
and
accepted
as long
the assignment,
as
it,
so. It's positive and he's yeah. scaring away the right people.
Exactly. With the scary face,
good.
Which is funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to destiny versus choice. Do you want to, for our listeners, frame the question of why it's important to ask the question? You know.
Well, you know.
Or what's the dilemma?
For me, it's always been. Yeah, I mean, it's always been important to me. I always felt like I had a destiny. But the reason why I wrote the book is because I, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to write next, I was having so many people, just sort of out of the blue, although we know nothing is ever out of the blue, talk about, you know, why don't you ever write about destiny? I always wonder, mm-hmm. do I have a purpose? Do I have a destiny? Blah, blah, blah. It kept happening over and over again. I thought, oh, okay, well, here you go. Another sign from the universe.
Right.
But also because at the same time, I was thinking about my own path, my own destiny, and how it was changing, and trying to make sure that I was staying on the right path and not making changes that were more intellectual or emotional or driven for the wrong reasons. So I was thinking mm-hmm. a lot about my own destiny and the choices that I had at mm-hmm. the same time that other people were coming to me. And so I just thought, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a good, well-rounded look at this subject matter, see what's out there, see if there is any proof either way,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, then let some people send in their own stories, which I always think those are so fun, the personal stories
mm-hmm.
that people send in, and just put it out there for anybody who might be going through the same discussion with themselves.
Yeah, I think that there's a great deal of information right now in the last maybe 5 or 10 years that if one can find their purpose in life,
right.
which is their destiny or their destiny path, that would, you know, make it so they don't have to worry about, you know, certain depression, illness, other unhappiness, you know, a whole host of negative things, even up to dying early, you know, even people who can't find their destiny might actually be taken out early.
Right.
And that's how you find your true happiness. And I think there is some truth in that.
There
people
is,
I meet who are
there's...
happy no matter what are on their path.
I you know,
and aren't
and I
depressed
still think
and aren't anxious
be...
and you know it's so
I think people will still experience bad times and challenges
oh, yeah.
and
yeah.
But when you know you're on your right path, they're easier to deal with.
Exactly.
They're easier
it doesn't
to deal
affect
with.
You as much.
Right. It doesn't, you know, drag you down and and
you don't think you're a horrible person. Or you're this,
exactly. You're just you look at them as obstacles instead
or opportunities.
Just
like the story in your thing about the guy that, you know, worked too much and he had this happen and that happened and finally had the accident.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
For me,
doesn't that happen
for me,
to a
that
lot?
Story rang true. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up breaking my arm, and I was interviewing Colette Baron Reed, who's the psychic that works with Sylvia Brown on her book, and she said, yeah, you were going to get lung cancer. So who would rather have a broken arm versus lung cancer? Yes. Well, I had to take 4 months off because as a surgeon, you can't, I broke my left arm, you can't operate. And so I rested and took care of myself and ate right and, you know, did all the things you were supposed to do and avoided cancer. So, you know, obviously,
right.
When I kind of knew that I had an intuition that the broken arm was in divine order as well.
Avoidable?
Yeah, it was avoidable.
Right.
If I'd taken care of myself earlier, I wouldn't have had that happen, you know, but I didn't, so it did.
Right, and I think they're wake-up calls, and if you don't pay attention to them, they'll keep coming back bigger, stronger, and in more devastating ways until you do.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Which
I changed my life quite a bit because of that in terms of, you know, getting off call and, you know, decreasing work responsibilities.
Right, getting rid of some stresses that you probably could have done without, because I think that's one of the biggest things I hear from people is that they're just overwhelmed and overstressed, and then 6 months later you'll hear from them and they've got cancer, or, you know, they had a heart attack or this, that, and the other thing. And
bad
you have
accident.
To wonder, well, are we right? Are we driving ourselves to these points of disease by not, and I don't know how to make it easier for people to listen to those little messages before you get the big ones, other than intuition and gut feelings. And but, you know, so many people will just ignore those because they don't feel like they make sense. It's like, you know,
well,
I have
didn't
to
feel
struggle
like
to
I
make
could
a living.
Stop. Yeah, I couldn't stop because I was treating people with life-threatening illnesses from all over the world.
Right, so you felt
and
like
I didn't
if you
feel
stopped.
Like, you know, I felt like I could, you know, persevere and do okay, even though,
right.
You know, I mean, I felt the risk was worth the benefit, but evidently my guides and guardian angels didn't agree.
They wanted you to take care of you first, right?
Right.
What a concept. Woo!
Yeah. Well, I think, I'm always, bulletproof. You know, I'm always invincible and bulletproof in my own mind, you know. And one of my favorite lines is from that movie, you know, my mind's writing checks, my body can't cash.
Right, exactly. And I think I wonder if it's
my
more
life.
A woman thing. I think women tend to do that a lot. It's like we're going to take care of everyone else on the planet, and then we'll get around to taking care of us.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's because we're nurturers and caretakers. I mean, that's
yeah.
who we are.
Yeah. But we
but
forget
I do,
that
I
we have
do
to
believe
do
in the concept. We have a cancer clinic here and since 99, so I see a lot of cancer patients. And I do believe that from clairvoyant readings of the patients that if you are not on your path, if you are not doing that which you are supposed to do, cancer is the way to be taken out so you can come back in and, you know, say if something you were supposed to do requires you to be younger, you know, you can't always, you know, be a
go back,
you know,
and do it
a
over
a star
again.
Athlete in your 30s, you know, or beyond.
Exactly.
So, yeah, the idea is that if you have a path that is you've missed it. You've just missed every opportunity. You could be taken out with cancer to be brought back in later.
To do it over again.
Do it
that's
again.
Really interesting. I never thought of it that way. I never thought
I think
of
that's
it.
True. I mean, not every cancer is that. By
right.
Any means.
Exactly.
That is a. Yeah. Well, you know, I think I heard this just the other day. Somebody had cancer and got a reading, and the answer was, well, your soul contract's up, and you've got to die of something.
Oh, wow. How do you take something like that?
Well,
yikes.
You know, I mean, I guess at a soul level, they chose to get cancer, though. I mean, to go out, you know, rather than be in an accident or something. And it may have been to spare the loved ones around them the shock of a traumatic death.
True.
Which I
true.
Think
but then
it's
you hear about
harder to, you know, cancer, a lot of changes occur when somebody has cancer because they don't die right away.
Exactly.
So everybody can go through all the stages of grief, you know.
Right. But, you know, then you hear about people who say you're being challenged to fight it by changing your thoughts and changing your life. And
I mean,
so it's like, how do you know? I mean, here we are talking about destiny.
You have to ask.
How do you know when
you
you're supposed to check out or when you're supposed to fight it? That kind of information,
well,
I think, is really
exactly.
hard
I mean, I've had cancer patients where I hear they're going to die no matter what. This is their sole contract. This is their, you know, death date. However, I've had other patients that they said, nope, this isn't their death date. This isn't their sole contract, and they can get better.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I think I probably haven't talked to you about this, but when I do cancer books, I usually make the point that the most important piece of information, there's two important pieces of information to get from the patient who has cancer. One, do they want to live? Because if
right.
they don't want
right.
to live, then, you know, you should just make them comfortable. Number two, and you'd be surprised how often they don't want to live. It's very interesting. Number two, what is their death date? You know, because if their death date is soon, then obviously the cancer is what the soul chose to go out with, and who am I to fight that? You know, I mean, I'm not going to go against their soul contract. And then if their soul contract is further out, which is usually the case because they don't really get guided here unless they're supposed to do something about it, then we can start asking what changes, you know, the whole thing, the spiritual, the emotional, the mental, and the physical things they need to do to get well.
Right. So their destiny, therefore, could be they find out that they have this disease, but they are not meant to give into it quite yet.
Right.
And,
exactly.
I mean, is it possible for people to know this on their own, or does it
require... Yeah, I've had people
you know, when people get sick...
That they were going to die of their cancer.
Right. People get sick, and they're in fear. I mean, fear just takes over, and it even takes over, I think, the same kinds of wisdom that comes to you mm-hmm. to tell you what your destiny is, the intuition, the little inner whisperings. It's like all mm-hmm. of a sudden they're completely quieted out by fear. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's so many unhappy, miserable people today, is because not only are most people not fulfilling their destiny or purpose, but even the ones that are getting the signs that, hey, 2x4 to the head, hello, you're on the wrong path, they still may not know what's happening here, that they're being given a second chance to get back on the path of destiny or do it over again, as you said. So it's very frustrating and sad. And, you know,
well, I want to tell you a little bit of a story that really will blow you away. This is a cancer patient who came in with esophageal cancer, metastatic, and he sat in the chair and told me he was going to die of this cancer, and then his wife would argue with him that, no, you're not, you know, you're not. And he said, oh, yes, I am. And so he went through, I think, 12 rounds of chemo and did real well. The cancer was residing, you know, going away. He didn't have, I put him on some supplements and some other treatments, so he didn't lose his hair, didn't get fatigued. In fact, his oncologist had never seen that happen before. He didn't have hardly any pain. But then I went to California, and something told me that he had died. I just knew. And I really knew when he kind of appeared in the restaurant we were eating in, and not in the physical, but in my spiritual sight. And I said to him, are you dead? And he said, yes, I died. And I said, well, is there anything else we could have done for you? And he said, no, my death was karmic. And he had a message for me to give to his wife, which I did. And when I called her, she said, that message makes sense, because I went to a psychic shortly after he was diagnosed, and she said he would do very well, he would have very little pain, not suffer much, he would go through 12 rounds of chemo, it would do well, but then he would die of the cancer. And she said, this is because you left him in a previous life, and he vowed that he would leave you in this life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Think about that.
So it was,
so, you know, isn't that interesting?
More of a lesson for her to learn,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to live. I mean, he knew he was going to die.
But, yeah, so in a way,
and he wasn't
probably
fearful
knew
about
this
it either.
Right.
was, And it was so neat because usually somebody with that kind of cancer would suffer quite a bit, and he suffered very little. I thought that was interesting. He also said
See, that's really knowing your purpose.
He didn't feel like suffering. Now, he was
really
a very
knowing.
Powerful individual. And he's still around, you know. I mean, being able to come talk to me and everything, that indicates people are, you know, fairly evolved. So,
well, hopefully,
anyway, that's
and her karmic wheel is now cleared of that lesson.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
She doesn't
oh, no,
have
she knew.
To...
She knew he was going because she'd heard it from the psychic.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a very in-your-face way to get
thing,
a lesson.
Yeah. As I say, there's many, many different reasons you get cancer. So you need to know, like, he didn't want to live. He knew
right.
in his heart he was going to die because this was part of what he vowed to do. And then the second thing is his death date. And I don't really know whether his death date was, you know, then or not. I guess it was if it was part of the soul contract. But anyway, it was kind of before we were checking out death dates.
And I think probably he's very rare to have known that that was his destiny,
he's
so to speak.
Intuitive.
Yeah, because, you know, most people, again, they're just going to be immersed in the fear of dying. That
Right. He wasn't at all.
You know,
and the thing that really, the question I had afterwards that I never got to ask him is, could you have changed it? Could you have rewritten your contract? Could you have forgiven her for doing that and rewritten your contract?
Exactly. That's what I would have asked.
I mean, at what point can you rewrite your contract? When does this destiny thing, you know, no longer apply?
Right. And it was not possible to do that for her.
Yeah, and these are questions I still have. But I think that sometimes cancer is more complicated than we. It's not just one thing, okay?
Yeah.
It's many different things.
No, definitely.
Things. Just like life, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, people who are on their destiny or their path and living their purpose will still get sick, but I think that there are a lot of cases of people who get sick because they're not. And that's the body's way of saying, you know what, you've suffered mentally, emotionally, intellectually, psychically, spiritually. Now I'm telling you that I'm suffering, too, because of your unhappiness. Or, you know, just the feeling that people tell me is that just feeling miserable all the time, even though they've got nice things in life or they have a decent job or they're in a relationship, but they're just not. No, something is off, and feeling that way for years and years has to do something to your body. I mean, it has to have an effect on your body.
And I think many depressions are due to being off the path significantly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because that, I mean, if you think about it, you get energy from your higher dimensional being. Okay, whatever you want to call it, monad, soul, whatever. And when you're doing what you should be doing, you get a lot of energy. I'm not talking about taking energy from other people. I'm talking about taking energy from source.
Right.
When the
you're
energy from source disappears, you have to wonder why.
Yeah.
You see. Well, they're not going to, I mean, what they're, you know, higher aspects of yourself or higher energy beings are not going to give you energy if you're going down the wrong path.
Exactly.
You know, it's like,
and I think
there's no gas in the gas tank. Okay.
Listen
and
to the major complaints. Right, and the major complaints people have is they're tired. They're, you know, they feel sick, or and the
they
funny thing is
eat,
that naturally
they can't
we'll
sleep,
go
yeah.
right, and naturally we'll go take medicine. We'll take some pills.
We'll treat the symptoms.
You know, antidepressant meds to cover it all up.
Right.
But that's still not getting to the source of the problem. It's just
covering
up. Yeah,
the big secret that's interesting is depression meds oftentimes do not work. I think the times they do work, there might be a chemical imbalance. You know, I think there might be a serotonin deficiency. And certainly you can treat that with an SSRI inhibitor. Or if you have a GABA deficiency, you can treat that with a GABA blocker. But the point is that many depressions have a much higher cause.
Right, and those meds are not going to work on that.
Right,
exactly. Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why so many people will take a depression medication that doesn't work and then they get one to add on to it or, you know, instead of really getting into the cause And like you said, yes, absolutely, there are certainly physical things that we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But I suspect most of the people that I know that are suffering from depression and being tired and not feeling well, you know, if you talk to them longer, the truth starts to come out, and they're just really unhappy. And then, you know, it's like, oh, okay, now we're getting to the truth of the matter, and there is no medication that's going to help that.
You know, they don't want to get out of their relationship because they're fearful they won't find another. They don't want to quit their job because they're fearful they won't find another in this, you know, economic environment.
Exactly.
You know, it's all fear. You know, it's all fear and lack of faith. Right.
Exactly. They're afraid to go for what they want because they might fail. Oh, you know, heaven forbid.
They're not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing,
Absolutely.
So, you
know,
in the next, I think this is going to intensify this year, and that anything based on fear is going to suck you further down, and anything based on love and guidance and the higher emotions is going to take you up. This would be a great year to change your ways about that. You know, it really would.
Exactly. Do it now. I have a friend who said this year is about authenticity. And so if you're not living, and I think destiny plays right into that. If you're not living authentically, you're going to feel it more and more now.
Right.
So think very carefully about all of the things that you're lying to yourself and other people about, especially the way we lie to ourselves. And how you're not being authentic, or you're living through someone else's expectations, because that's going to be amplified to a point where it's either going to break you or change you.
You know, it's interesting.
And hopefully,
I saw that when I was in college. I went to Johns Hopkins, and a lot of children were there because their parents wanted them to be doctors, but that wasn't what they wanted.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. So it was a very interesting thing to see the people who really wanted to be doctors and were really happy to be there versus the ones that were in this battle, you know, between.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, very interesting. And some of them ended up getting, you know, busted for drugs, and so they couldn't be doctors. You know, it's interesting how they got out of it.
Yeah, different ways to rebel and break out.
Different ways to rebel, be authentic. Because actually, you know, with certain misdemeanors and felonies, you're probably never going to be a doctor.
Yeah, that's a good way to put a big black mark on your medical record.
Yeah.
But what I think is interesting, you know, is that if it's not our parents making us feel like we have to do certain things, it could be our spouses, it could be society, it could be our churches, it could be whatever. But sometimes I think we do it to our, you know, we're our own worst enemy. And that seems to be hardest to overcome because people are not always sure how they're sabotaging themselves. It's easy to blame other people and look outside of yourself, but I found for me personally that it's the self-sabotage that's the hardest to deal with, because who wants to admit that? You know, if you can blame it on somebody else, but really nobody knows your path but you. I don't care how close you are with your parents or how much you love your spouse. You're the only one who truly knows what goes on inside of you. You know, the things that can't be verbalized. And if you're not being authentic to that, then everything else around is going to start to crumble. And I honestly think that's what we're seeing. Relationships and jobs and, you know, just people's health, their ability to deal with what they used to be able to deal with just fine. It's all really changing.
And you know, how you think about something really frames things. If you think something is impossible, it becomes impossible. It won't happen. So what I try to do is not have thought prisons, not have thought obstacles. I really have to, when I come to a conclusion about something, I really have to think, is this really true, or is this just the way I'm framing it? I think that we have destiny points. And the destiny points could be from, you know, karmic things in previous lives, so that it really doesn't make sense to us in this life. But, you know, you might have a destiny point to have certain things happen to you, like certain marriages seem to be. You know, we're told that if somebody murdered you in a previous life, they're often going to fall in love with you in this life, you know, that kind of thing. So you have, you know, you have destiny points where you're going to meet certain individuals, but you have free will whether or not you marry them. Do you see?
Right. And it really helps, like you said earlier, if you're intuitive enough to know that you're being presented with a lesson rather than, you know, fight it and avoid it and resist it, to be able to accept the lesson and work through it. And I really think that most people don't know how to do that. They're gonna see a situation like a bad marriage as just being completely negative, where mm-hmm. it may end up teaching them a great lesson that they need to learn. And if they don't learn it, they're gonna have another bad marriage. It's like,
you marry the same alcoholic husband five times. You know who's to blame
God.
Here? You know,
exactly. Yeah, those are those lovely patterns. That we have, you know, and relationships, I think, show those patterns more than anything. You know, they reveal things to us.
Yeah. Michael Rice wrote a book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? I love that book.
Yeah. Here we go again. Yeah, I know.
So, you know, I think it's good to get spiritual. I mean, if you don't have, you know, I think meditation and other spiritual practices will get you to a point where you can have more insight. But if you need to make decisions based on things now, I think getting spiritual guidance, you know, from a counselor, somebody who is, you know, more clairvoyant, reading from a soul level, is a viable choice. I think often they give you very good information.
Yeah.
And you don't have to follow it. I mean, you know, you can choose to do whatever you want. You do have that option.
Well,
but there are things you don't know.
I think people know, too, when they resonate with something that's being told to them.
Yeah. If you get a reading and all of it sounds like malarkey, it probably is. But if you get a reading and you go, oh, well, yeah, that's right. I didn't remember that. This is like that other situation, you know. Maybe I need to do the opposite thing now, you know, than I did then.
Right. Right. It's, you're getting a reading and your gut is going, oh,
it's about soul
no.
lessons, though. That's what a spiritual reading's about. It's about what lessons are you contracted to learn in this lifetime.
Right.
You know, is it, like, my lesson, honestly, is not to learn to trust people, it's learn to distrust people. You know, I see everybody as soul potential, so I have to learn discernment, you know. I don't have any trouble trusting people, but my thing is, okay, well, let's not get into business relationships with people who are going to, you know, intend to harm you.
Associate with people who intend to take
advantage.
Yeah, that's funny, because if you say that to someone, your lesson is to learn to not trust certain people. They'll say, what?
It's true.
No. We're supposed to love and trust everyone. It's like, well, if you want to get screwed over, be my guest.
That's right.
But
I don't think so.
That makes sense.
I think we have to learn third-dimensional lessons. I mean, up in the fifth dimension, we can trust everybody.
Right.
They're trustworthy.
But we're not all there yet.
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny, because when you tell someone, you know, maybe you have a destiny, you want to get to know what it is, a lot of people just assume it's going to be all sunshine and flowers and fun and games from that point.
Oh, no.
But no, I mean, we're talking lessons and challenges and opportunity, like you said, obstacles, but you can also call those opportunities. But always with the sense that this all has a point. Instead of going through life just stumbling and feeling like, why am I here? What, you know, what the heck is going on?
I suggest people start by looking at very simple things, like their very basic numerology, which is in your book, which I really enjoyed that part. Very basic things like their name. My name is Susan. My name means she who is falsely accused. And I cannot begin to tell you how often I've been falsely accused in this lifetime. I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. And you know what? It is absolutely wonderful, because now every time I'm falsely accused, I sort of gauge how much I can get out of it.
I got real good with the legal system. Well, you're learning how to accept and deal with and turn in your favor the challenge that your name gave you.
And my numerology tells me that I will have multiple lawsuits in this lifetime, and I will win most of them.
Huh, that's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
That goes
so
hand in hand.
My name, Susan, and then you look behind the meaning of that, and then you get the numerology, which, and I, you know, as a as just myself, I have no interest in lawsuits. You know, they're a big waste of money and time. However,
yes,
that belief is changing as I go through this life. I see
right.
the value
yes.
in lawsuits because
right.
how else are
they
we going to change injustice, you see?
Exactly, exactly.
So
standing up for
that
what's right.
thought that I had that lawsuits are just a waste of time and money and, you know, really stupid is changing as I go through the process. Because
I
am allowing
in.
Others to become more ethical and increase their spiritual growth by suing them.
Right. See, you're assisting
you see?
Them on their path. But also mm-hmm. it comes into play with what you said about, you know, the whole trust thing. And
yeah.
you're sharpening your talent and ability to know who to trust and who not to trust. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it all seems to go hand in hand. And at
it
the
does.
Same time, helping those people make the choice as to whether they're going to become more ethical or do this
right.
to someone else or, you know, learn their lesson now and say, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to operate a little more ethically from now on.
Yeah, I basically, about 10 years ago, sued two attorneys for slander and won easily.
Yeah.
Judges don't like attorneys who slander people.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they learn their lesson. They don't go do it again.
Oh, they did. Oh, they did.
Oh, brother.
No question.
Okay. Well, they were on it.
No question. Yeah.
They
but
were
the
on
point
a lower...
is, you know, I mean, if a doctor is flagrantly reckless, early it's
uh-huh.
better early in his career to have a malpractice case than later when he's harmed so many people and gotten so much karma.
Oh, wow.
You see?
Yeah.
I mean,
it all ties together like a big web.
It does. It does, yeah. So sometimes
yeah.
I've been called to testify against, and it's hard to find people to do this, to testify against other plastic surgeons who've done reckless things. And you know what?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
It's very interesting because people who scrub with me now tell me that that doctor is very careful and very considerate, whereas
Good.
Before they were not.
Good.
So
right.
I see that
it did.
My testimony... which is limited. It's just reviewing a case. It's like, I mean, it's nothing
right.
major at all. I mean, it doesn't take any time
right.
at all. But, and this is a person I didn't know at all, the person. So, but I see that my actions, which I was guided to do help make him better doctor and also decrease his karma. Because if he
right.
continued
well,
to be
yeah.
a jerk and reckless, God knows what would have happened, you know.
And to the patients, I mean, yeah, you're
well,
protecting.
Well, that's what I'm saying, to the patients, exactly.
Exactly. It's
yeah.
like that pebble that you throw in the pond. How far out does that
right.
ripple of effect
right.
go? So
even though it's
absolutely.
Easier to say, no, I don't want to get involved, and no, lawsuits or, you know, attorneys are all this way or that way.
Right,
or, and,
exactly.
and all this
Forget
mess.
It.
And,
yeah.
It's almost like a fear-based withdrawal response. Sometimes you have to have courage to say, no, this wasn't right, and I will be the one to stand up and say, it's not right, even though my colleagues may not appreciate that.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of doctors, I mean, you know, I had a case where a pediatrician didn't diagnose my son properly, and we
mm-hmm.
thought about suing because he didn't walk for a couple of years because of it.
Right.
And
yeah.
a lot of the other doctors we talked to said, forget it. Nobody's going to stand up. Nobody's
right.
going to testify. And I thought, that's terrible. I mean,
isn't
I know you
terrible?
Want to keep your job, but you're,
I know.
You know, you're,
I know.
Maybe other kids now are going to be misdiagnosed because of this. So it does. It takes
yeah.
a lot of courage, but you realize how far that ripple goes out and how many people
yeah,
might change.
And there's cases, there's many cases I review where I tell the attorney, in fact, I just did one last week, there's no case here. The patient smoked. She was told not to smoke. She smoked anyway. She
oh,
had a complication
wow.
related
yeah.
to smoking. So I, you know, what my colleagues don't understand
right.
is I probably protect them from more lawsuits than they'll ever know.
Exactly. Exactly. They focus on the ones that don't worry, you know.
Yeah,
that they
exactly.
think,
well, I'm yeah. not like a, you know, I'm not an expert witness gun. I've only been an expert witness once, and that's the case I told you about. But I was
right.
guided to be an expert witness in that case. In other words, I never saw the patient who was a nurse who was permanently disabled because of this.
Wow.
And I just rendered my opinion, which was not really hard to render. You know, you don't cut through a nerve
yeah.
with a Bovie. You see.
It's funny how many people want to
you
got to
know the nurse
far,
there,
though.
You know.
yeah. yeah. But I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people won't get involved.
Right, exactly.
Because they just don't want the trouble, and yet they don't realize
and it
that
is. You don't get paid much. I think, you know, I mean, I got paid probably $125 for writing the statement. I mean, it's really not something you do for money at all.
Well, no, and I think a lot of people just don't want to get involved because of the fear of repercussions, but they don't realize that, you know, our lives are all intertwined, and
they are.
What they do
and
could
I take
be beneficial.
The cases, I mean, and usually I'll ask to see the patient. That's what I'll usually do. And these patients
get
are often very much injured, and some of them are very bitter. And so I talk to the patient about not being bitter and forgiving, you know. I mean, I also address the problems with the patients, which are, you know, lack of forgiveness, especially when it was a mistake. And mistakes are mistakes, you know. And people make mistakes.
Right.
We
they
all make
need to
mistakes.
Own up to that, right.
Right, right. But there's reckless mistakes. And then there's, you know, I mean, driving through a red light and getting hit and hitting somebody is a reckless mistake.
Exactly.
You know, versus, you know, turning out where you didn't realize that there was something that was going to mess up something else, and then that led to that, and then something else happened, and you got a hit. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Several things down is a mistake. You know, you didn't know.
Right, or having a heart attack while you're driving, and you lose control of your car. I mean, you didn't see that one coming. But, yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's part of doing the right thing. And again, affecting everyone else's destiny is the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea being that our destinies are all intertwined. I think the choices that we make affect other people. We don't think about that. We just do whatever we want, whatever feels good to us. And it's like, screw everybody else. But our choices affect other people. I always like, again, to go back to that pebble in the pond and how big does your ripple go out and affect other people's ripples?
Yeah. Well, it's also your intent. I mean, my intent toward people is good. I mean, that's my, you know, my orientation. I want to help them.
Right.
I want to, you know, I don't want them to suffer. I don't want them to get, you know, to get in trouble. And I believe that as I grow spiritually in terms of my ability to follow my higher guidance, then I will have less and less and less free will because I will know what to do. Because I will know I'm guided what to do. And it won't be a question of free will. Free will is kind of illusionary for me. Free will only exists at the point where you don't have that guidance.
Right, right. You don't need to make a choice because you always do the right thing, in a sense.
Right.
You're guided to do the right thing.
Exactly.
That's
and I think that's where we're going.
Is
our spiritual evolution is taking it to that point. You've probably heard that angels don't have free will. And, you know, they probably don't have as much free will as we do because they have a lot more guidance.
Right. They're just automatically doing what
they know what to do, and they know that they want to do that because that's the best for the whole, and that decreases unintended consequences.
That's interesting.
You know,
and other people will say, you'll hear other people say, well, as we evolve, we will become more free than ever. But in a sense, if you don't really need to, it's
the
opposite.
I had the opportunity to meet many of the masters who were coming over. One of my friends was bringing them over, and she had me go out to dinner with them on a Friday night before their weekend or their week-long classes that they were teaching. So I met masters from many, many different, countries and religious inclinations. And I'll tell you one thing. All the masters had one thing in common. They all had the same eyes. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
There's definite, when you look in the eyes of a master, you can see that they are pure love and light coming out of their eyes.
Right.
And they have different energy
they're
systems, too. You can
different
feel
level.
Their energy system. Yeah. So they all had that in common, and I felt that they had little free will. You see what I mean?
Right, exactly.
They did not speak in terms of that people speak in. They spoke differently about that.
Yeah.
So they came over because they were guided to come over, not because they wanted to come over.
Yeah, they're not going to say, I have a choice as to be whether I want to be good or evil, because to them there is no choice.
Right.
They're on the path of good. There is no... Yeah, I understand that. I never thought of it that way, though. That's a really interesting thing to think about because, like I said, so many people equate freedom with something quite different, you know, free will and choice. And when you get to that certain level, it's just there's one path, one way.
Mm-hmm. I have a cute story to tell you about a female master. Female master was in India, and she was doing healings on all these people, and she was exhausted, hadn't slept in 2 days, so she was sleeping, and her bodyguards were outside, and this family brought this tiny baby to be healed. The baby was very ill, almost ready to die, and the bodyguard said, no, mother must rest. Mother cannot come out. And mother
right.
woke up, came out, and looked, and took the baby and said to the bodyguards, if mother was meant to rest, mother would not have incarnated.
Oh! See, now they thought they were doing a good thing, right? Letting her sleep, but she knew better.
But mother was woken up by mother's higher guidance to
exactly.
take care of the baby
because
the baby was supposed to die. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, how
so how much free will does mother have?
Right. She's on the path.
She doesn't have
no...
free will. She does what she's supposed to do.
Absolutely. So, that's really interesting.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting story, though? Mother.
And
yeah,
I like
that's
that
her real name. She's a,
right.
she's a female master.
Mother doesn't
mother.
Rest.
Mother. If
yeah.
mother was meant to rest, mother would not have incarnated.
Yeah, that's
how true.
Wonderful. We need more of those. The people where you look in their eyes and you see the soul and it's all good.
That's right. Yeah.
It's
well, we
good.
Will. That's
yeah.
what I think that's what 2012 is going to bring, 2013.
Yeah.
I do. Well, we have come to the end of our hour very quickly, as usual.
I know.
Would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. People can go to my personal website, which is mariedjones.com, or they can find me on Facebook at Marie D. Jones Author, on Twitter at Marie D. Jones. Oh, my gosh. My website with Larry Flaxman is paraexplorers.com. And my books are sold everywhere, online and in brick-and-mortar bookstores. So I'm pretty accessible.
And I want to really tell people to get your books. All of them are excellent, and I especially enjoyed Destiny versus Choice because it has in it a wide... Marie really researches everything and brings in all aspects of this topic. Everything you need to know about this topic is in this book, so... It's one of my favorites. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well,
yes.
we'll get I'll get Courtney to get you on for the 2000 book or the, is it 2000?
That will be an interesting discussion.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We need to do that one. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Marie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Always such a pleasure.
It is. It is. Next week, we have Ed Edwards with Biointrinsic Energy on the 18th, and on the 25th, we have Dr. Richard Presser, the 2012 Countdown. We're doing a lot of 2012 books this and topics this year because it's 2012. And on the 25th, we also have from 1 to 4 p.m., Understanding Light and Wellness with the Avalon Effect at the Hilton Garden Inn in Atlanta Perimeter Center. And we have a advanced Avalon training on the 26th at the Georgetown Square Dunwoody office. Our Noetic Science is a free lecture on the frequency of genius. Richard Sachs is the producer of this DVD. It has consciousness leaders, a number of them featured in the movie, talking about very important topics for our time. And we appreciate Richard's efforts to bring these people all together. The Temple of Health radio show is endorsing the Don't Miss It, I Can Do It, the I Can Do It retreat. This is an inspiring and motivating mind, body, soul event, which is coming to Atlanta, San Jose, Vancouver, Toronto in the upcoming months. It will be here in Atlanta in April. It provides you with an opportunity to meet some of your favorite authors like Dr. Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, Cheryl Richardson, Louise Hay. Join them and your peers for this uniquely inspiring and motivating retreat. So just go to icandoit.net to find out the dates for a city near you or call 1-800-654-5126. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Have a great week.